Welcome into my podcast with Ryan Fagan, senior baseball writer of the Sporting News. We'll get to Ryan in just a moment. Want to make sure and tell you that if you log on to the site, make sure and enter your email so you'll get the Bernie Miklas Daily Bits column sent to you directly to your inbox, and that's right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. The doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group are some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. So before you think about surgery, think about Drs. Bays, Crane, Wolf, experts in stem cell regenerative therapy. Doctors from all over the country travel to Chesterfield Valley to see how they're doing this. So whether you're a high school athlete, a vet, your joints have been worn by age, arthritis, old injuries, your body still has the ability to heal itself. Let the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group show you how. Schedule an appointment, 636-778-2900, 636-778-2900. Visit them at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Let's talk a little baseball. We have Ryan Fagan, and Ryan is over at the Sporting News. He is covering baseball. He is the senior writer for the Sporting News. And Ryan, it's always great to hear your voice and to talk a little baseball with you. I just wish there was more to talk about. That's the problem.
It has been a slow off season, and we knew it was going to be a slow off season, but it still feels weird that it's this slow. I mean, we've had a couple of trades. Lance Lynn goes to the White Sox. We've had a couple of free agent signings, which, you know, the Royals have been the most aggressive team in the offseason, which is a strange sentence to hear, especially because
no doubt
they're not really considered contenders next year necessarily. But, you know, I think, you know, this is a market that if you want to be bold, if you want to be aggressive, there are opportunities to buy low early, which almost never, ever happens. But I think that's one of the things that makes this offseason so unique, and about the 3,000th way it's unique.
So you've probably been asked about 3,000 times about Yadi and about Waino. What do you think? I mean, are you starting to see a market develop for either one of these guys with some of the signings that we've had?
Well, you know what? The Mets rumored to be closing in on a deal with James McCann, who's had a couple of good years with the White Sox as a catcher. I think that market is starting to develop a little bit. You know, listening to John Mozeliak talk to media members the other night, he talked about how Waino and Yadi were priorities. You know, they really want to try to figure out what's happening with them, and then they'll adjust otherwise. You know, I don't think the Cardinals, at least publicly, are promoting this as an offseason where they're going to do a lot of work in terms of bringing in a lot of different people, a lot of big names. So I think it makes sense that keeping legacy guys like Molina and Wainwright is going to be important. That said, there's a market outside of St. Louis for Yadier Molina and what he brings to the team. There's a market for guys like Adam Wainwright and what he brings to the team. And, you know, once they get to free agency, you know, things can change a little bit, you know? So I'm curious to see how it develops. I would imagine that they wind up back in St. Louis, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if either or both of them winds up somewhere else, and that will be weird.
Absolutely. Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News, my guest. And Ryan, you mentioned John Mozeliak, and he spoke yesterday to the media. I was on that call too, and you know, he said that essentially here in 2020 and 2021, so follow me here, he said that this upcoming January would be like 2020's right now, December.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So you kind of follow your you know, a little puzzle that he's got going there. But the point being is that the movement in baseball that we normally have in December, he anticipates we're probably going to have that in January. So because of that, and with all the non-tenders and some of the free agents, do you anticipate this thing getting busy right after Christmas, or at least maybe first, second week in January, something like that?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that there's ever going to be a time with this offseason where there's rapid fire, big signings or big deals. I think it's going to be spread out. You know, it's different this year, obviously, with the winter meetings being virtual, because so much of the winter meetings, the deals that happened, you know, Mozeliak talked about this in his press conference, his Zoom press conference. And, you know, writers have talked about this ad nauseum over the past week, talking about missing the winter meetings, because a lot of those deals happen and conversations that start up because you see someone in the lobby,
right?
Or you get in a hotel elevator on the way up to the suite and it starts a conversation. And that obviously doesn't happen with Zoom meetings. Those chance random things, conversations don't get started. So I think you're missing a little bit of that. And people talk about deals that happen at the winter meetings, and there are deals that are finished at the winter meetings, but so many of the deals that happen in the weeks after that are results of conversations that started at the winter meetings. And so you're missing some of that. So I'm just not sure that there's ever going to be a time where you see three big signings in a day or two trades in back-to-back days. So, yeah, you know, I think it's going to be spread out. We've seen spread out off seasons. I remember when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies, he did it after spring training it started.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's going to be more situations like that, especially as we're waiting to find out whether there's going to be a DH in the NL this year.
Any of the non-tenders surprise you first? And secondly, which ones do you think could be a fit in St. Louis potentially?
The one that surprised me the most probably was David Dahl with the Rockies for a couple reasons. You know, I know he's had issues being staying healthy. You know, he's spent a lot of time on the DL. He hasn't yet had a full major league season, but he's 26 years old. He can play all three outfield positions. And he was an all-star in 2019. It's not like he was an all-star in 2016. He was an all-star in 2019, the last full year. And he's a guy that was only scheduled to make about $2.5 million, you know, and the Rockies have basically said, we're cutting everything as much as we can. And he was one of the guys they deemed expendable. So, you know, he's a guy that I would imagine there will be a decent little market for. He's not going to get a huge long contract because obviously the injury issues, but he's a guy that could fit in a lot of places. You know, there's some power out there, and, you know, the Cardinals have long needed that upgrade in power. And it kind of depends on whether the NL is going to have the DH, and it's beyond insane to me that we are more than a month into the offseason and we don't know what rules we're going to be playing with going into the 2020-21 season. You know, but if there isn't a DH in the NL, I mean, a guy like Kyle Schwarber makes a lot of sense. A guy like Eddie Rosario makes a lot of sense. Nelson Cruz makes a lot of sense. And I think there's a chance if you're willing to act early and give a guy like Schwarber a two-year deal, a Rosario a two-year deal, because whether or not the DH is in the NL in 2020, it's probably going – or 21, it's probably going to be there in 2022 and going forward. So, again, if you want to be bold and make that move, there's an opportunity here.
I think fans and some of us, all of us maybe, are wondering, why isn't that decided? I've tried to explain it. It's like the negotiations are when you go into a restaurant and you say, well – it's a la carte, right? I'll take this and I'll take that and I'll right. do a little bit of this. Well, in baseball, it's just the negotiations on these things always seem to be a full plate. Like we have to get everything instead of just saying, yeah, that makes some sense. Let's do it. I just don't understand that. And from the player's perspective, you know, talking about a Nelson Cruz or a Marcelo Ozuna, which some teams will only view him as a DH, you've just eliminated half of his potential suitors if you don't have a DH. So they've got to get this thing figured out.
And it's detrimental to teams trying to figure out what their roster is going to look like too. So that's the thing. It's not just bad for the players. It's bad for both sides. But the truth of it is this, as you know, the CBA expires after next season.
Right.
Right. It's going to be a contentious negotiation. And there's going to be rumors of all sorts of work stoppages. And that's just going to happen. Whether the stoppages happen or not, I don't know, but there's going to be talk about it because everyone's going to posture big. And everything right now between MLB and MLBPA is a negotiation. It's a give and take. And I think that the DH in 2021 is being used as some sort of bargaining chip. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. That's the only reason that something like that is that important. I mean, imagine an NFL team not knowing if you're going to be able to put somebody left tackle.
Right.
during the upcoming season. I mean, that's crazy. Right. So I think that that's the only thing that I can imagine is it's being used and withheld as some sort of bargaining chip towards future negotiations, which, you know, it's not a good look for baseball. It really isn't.
No, it's not. And Cohen now is in New York. So they've got an owner with $15 billion, and we're all kind of waiting for him to spend. He hasn't quite done it yet, but He's going to be a game changer when it comes to baseball, obviously, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you feel bad for Mets fans who have had to deal with that ownership group that they've had there for a long time. And it just seems like everything, with the exception of the 2015 season, which, you know, I mean, they did make it to the World Series, has been some sort of disaster in varying capacities. So I think having Cohen in there, for Mets fans, it's the best thing that's happened to them in quite a long time. You know, they're rumored to be very strong after George Springer. They're rumored to be very hot after Trevor Bauer. They've been talked about as a JT Realmuto destination. They've been talked about as trading for potentially and giving a long-term extension to Francisco Lindor. You know, so they're in the conversations with everything. And if they do less, if they make fewer than two impact moves this offseason, I would be surprised.
Yeah, I would too. In terms of the Hall of Fame ballot, anything on there that will surprise you? And as it pertains to St. Louis, I'm kind of seeing Scott Rolen take the Larry Walker trajectory. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, I've had a vote. I've voted four times now. This will be my fifth vote. And I've kind of evolved my thought process a little bit. And part of it has to do with keeping guys on the ballot. As you know, if they fall below 5% of the vote at any time, they drop off the ballot. Well, remember back in Scott Rolen's first year, it was a packed ballot. There are seven guys from that ballot who were already on there, and that doesn't include Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, and a couple other guys. So you've got these packed ballots. You've got a 10-man minimum. Scott Rolen barely made it
right. That
first year. He finished with 10% of the vote. I voted for him, even though if I was just ranking 10 guys, he wasn't in my top 10 that year. But it's important to stay in that ballot. So that year I voted for Scott Rolen, and I voted for Johan Santana. And Santana fell off, and Rolen made it with 10%. And now this year he's trending at above 60%. So I think that's kind of validated to me my approach. Using votes to try and keep guys on the ballot, because when guys like Jim Edmonds and Kenny Lofton and Ted Simmons and on and on and on, when they're falling off without so much as a second time on there, that's just wrong. So I'm trying to use my vote every year to make sure guys at least stay in that conversation.
For sure. The Edmonds one, I've done a lot of research on that. Obviously, he's my partner on the games, and he won't talk about it. Because, you know, he's like, hey, that's just part of it, and that's life, and you move on. But I've said it. I think he's a Hall of Famer, especially when you look at Baines getting in recently and some of the others, and you start comparing. Yeah. Now, it's era comparing, which can get a little tricky, but not to at least stay on the ballot is my point. I didn't understand that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, is he a slam dunk Hall of Famer? He's not Inner Circle. He's not Willie Mays. But is he better than some guys who are in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And does that mean he deserved to be at least in the conversation more than one time? Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, that's the thing that, you know, the baseball writers have tried for a long time to get rid of that 10 ballot or 10 vote minimum. The Hall of Fame has kind of refused to do that. That's the reason it's still there. And at some point, hopefully in the future, we're allowed to vote. Do we think this guy's a Hall of Famer? Yes or no?
Yeah.
With no other qualifications. And that's the goal. And hopefully at some point down the road that happens.
Hey, Ryan, what are you working on? I'll wrap it up with this at the Sporting News right now. You always have a unique look at some of the stories you do. I love them. So what are you working on now?
I've got a couple of fun things coming up that are coming up next week, probably. One of them is I'm talking to folks who started unique baseball card collections during the pandemic. Like, one guy decided that, okay, I'm going to collect as many Andre Dawson in an Expos uniform graded PSA 10, because one of my good friends who committed suicide a couple years ago, his favorite player was Andre Dawson. So in honor of him, he's done that. Another guy decided that he was going to collect the cards of the first Black players to break into each team. So guys like, you know, Jackie Robinson. He didn't get Jackie Robinson's rookie card, obviously, because that's really expensive. But, you know, the first player to play for each team. So that's something I'm doing. I've talked to a couple guys who started doing card art, which is a booming part of the hobby at this point. But not only are they creating card art, but they're basically selling their their products for charity, you know, to give the proceeds to charity. So there's a bunch of cool things like that. And it's kind of developed into a longer story than I anticipated to start with. But that's something that'll come out next week, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News, as always, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a great holiday season.
Great. Thanks. You too, Dan.